hearts. Praise God. And we're going to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting our reading in verse 10. The Word of God is powerful. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. From verse 10 through to verse 18. Everybody got it in their Bibles? And for those that don't, it's going to be on the screen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he writes these things. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." Where's our strength come from? In the Lord. "And in the power of our might," or the power of His might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles." That word wiles means the attacks of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole." Everybody say whole. Not part, not half. Take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How many people know that we live in an evil day? I think that may be even an understatement. "And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Paul is telling us that we are in a spiritual battle. Paul tells us that we need to put on the defenses that God has given us. We've got to put on the whole armor of God, because we are in a spiritual battle. How many people know that the Christian life is a spiritual battle? And so we would be foolish to be fighting a spiritual battle without the spiritual armor. This week, we're going to go into part two of our series, The Armor of God. We're going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Let your word come alive in this place today. Lord, help us not to just be hearers, but help us to be doers of the word. Lord God, speak through me today to this congregation. Lord, that we would be changed, Lord, from the inside out. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Well, last week had the wonderful opportunity of reading all of the children's notes that they did from the Sunday morning service. And it was great when they all came and handed their notes in about what they learnt in church last Sunday. So I was in my office on Monday reading all of that. And I want to give you a few notes, highlights from last week from our primary school students. And these are some quotes. A young boy named Dennis in our church, he wrote in his notes, he said, "To be victorious in the spiritual battle, I must support my core by girding myself in truth." Everybody say amen. Amen. Yeah, the primary school children are preaching to us today. A little girl named Gabby, she writes, "Truth stands, it doesn't change." She also writes, "The word of God is not restrictive. The word of God will set you free." It doesn't bind us, but it sets us free. I'm going to go down a little bit more. Nissy writes this, "First of all, stand. When we stand, it shows the devil that we mean business." Duma writes this, "Being a Christian is a battlefield, not a playground." She also writes, "Satan's number one tactic with us is deception and illusion. He is a liar." Everybody say the devil's a liar. Meph writes this. He writes, I must focus on my life on eternal things, not temporal things. Praise God. Another one says, the devil comes against you. When the devil comes against you, stand your ground. Another young person writes, the truth of God's word will cause you to adjust your lifestyle. Amen? The truth of God's word causes us to adjust our lifestyle. And so today we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. You see, as a Roman soldier would put their armor on, no doubt Paul had seen his fair share of Roman soldiers. And so, first of all, they would fit their belt on. And then they would put on the breastplate, which Paul calls the breastplate of righteousness. And there is a reason why the belt of truth comes before the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was, as you can see by this soldier in just a second, the breastplate was a metal shield. Usually that shield was made out of bronze, and it was worn over the midsection of the body from the neck down to the thighs. It was called the breastplate. And so wearing a breastplate could mean the difference between life and death. Everybody say life and death. There's something very important that's covered by the breastplate. Does anyone want to have a guess what it might be? The heart. Everybody say the heart. One swift strike from the enemy into the region where our heart is could cause somebody's heart to stop. And when your heart stops, you stop. In fact, it's not just that we're worried about our heart stopping, because there are people here today that have known that even if you have small damage to your heart, it can cause big problems in your life, because your heart is such an important part of your body, such an important organ. And so under the breastplate, we have the heart. We have other organs as well, but I would argue today that the heart is probably one of the most vital organs in our whole body. How many of us here today have a heart? Come on, have a heart and lift your hand for the preacher. And so as you sit here today, your heart is beating in your chest. It's pumping, I hope it's beating today. If not, we've got a little machine out there. It will come put something on you and boof, get you going again, give you a reset. But it's beating in your chest and it's pumping blood through your veins. It's picking up oxygen and nutrients, and it's taking that blood to places in your body. I don't know about it all, but it takes that blood to places and it turns it into energy. It gives us energy to move around. And so just a few things wrong with your heart, just a few little malfunctions, it can create a ripple effect through your entire body, just with a small problem in your heart. And the same importance of the heart to the physical is the importance of the heart to the spiritual. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Another version says, protect your heart as carefully as you can, because it is the source of life. Your life, okay, even what you speak, the Bible says that what a man speaks, he speaks out of the abundance of his heart. We've got to be careful what we allow into our heart, because the heart is the source of life, and our spiritual heart is the source of our spiritual life. The spiritual heart is just as important as the physical heart is to your physical body. The spiritual heart is important to your spiritual life. And that's why Proverbs says, keep your heart. Be careful what you allow in your heart. Protect your heart. He says, because out of it is the source of life. And so we talk about the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? We need to answer that question. Righteousness is upright living. Right living. You could see that in the word righteous. But righteousness is upright living. Not just good living according to the word, to the world, but righteousness is upright living that aligns with God's word, with God's expectations. And so to be righteous, our standard is not somebody, our comparison to somebody else or our comparison to the world. Our standard for righteous living is the Word of God. What God wants for us, how God wants us to live our life, that is the standard for righteous living. And so righteousness is right living. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. We are children of God. We are children of the King. We've been saved. God has taken us out of the miry clay, set our feet upon the rock. And Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he says, you got to walk like a child of the King. You got to walk like a child of God. And so righteousness is a lifestyle that aligns with God's word. Everyone say God's word. Now it's a mistake to think that the belt of truth comes before the breastplate of righteousness. That it's a mistake to think that was just haphazard. No, because before you can put on the breastplate of righteousness, you've got to put on the belt of truth. It is fundamental, because unless you understand the truth of God's word, then you're not going to know what righteousness is, because righteousness is living according to God's word. So you can't just take the breastplate of righteousness unless you first put on the belt of truth, because righteousness is living according to God's truth. It's a lifestyle that aligns with the truth of God's word. And so the breastplate of righteousness is put on after you have taken the belt of truth. Why? Because God's word is our blueprint for living. God's word is our blueprint for righteous living. We've got to gird ourselves. Everyone say gird. And we get the word girdle from gird. And that it put it on, it restrains, it holds your core together. It wraps around you. And that's what the truth of God's word has to do. It has to wrap around us. We've got to gird ourselves in truth. Once we've girded ourselves in truth, then we need to let our lifestyle and our behavior align with the truth that we've girded ourselves with. Can anybody understand the importance of the word of God in our life? Yeah. You've got to get the belt of truth on. You've got to know what saith the Lord. What does the Bible say? That's why we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. My dad said to me the other day, he said, you've got to put on the belt of truth because it keeps your pants up, stops you from being ashamed and from people seeing your shame. And that's what the Bible says. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so we've got to know what the Bible says. So it's truth first and then righteousness. It's righteous living based on God's word, living a life that aligns with God's standard. And truth provides the grid, all right? Righteousness paints the picture. The grid is the truth of God's word. Righteousness is when we begin to live our life based on God's word. Truth, for another word, truth is the railway tracks. It gives us the way. It gives us the tracks of life. It tells us where to go and how we're going to get there. And then righteousness is the train on the tracks. It's obedience. It's living our life on the tracks of God's truth. Somebody say amen. And so I established today that the world doesn't tell us how to live. How many people know that the world is constantly changing? Things that were absolutely abominable 30 years ago are now acceptable. This world is losing its way. That's why it's so important that we need to be in the Word of God. We've got to study the Word of God so that we can know the lies of this world. That's why it's important that you come to a church that teaches the Bible in its entirety. The whole Word of God, not just the bits we like. There's lots of bits we like. But it's like a child, you know. We know as parents we've got to give our children a good diet. We know they like lollies, and we know that for somewhat that sugar is a good part of our diet and we need it to have energy and all that. But we don't just give them sugar all the time. There comes a time when we go to the back of the cupboard and we pull out the vegetables and we say, okay, and they turn their nose up and we tell them, well, you're going to eat it anyway because it's good for you. And I learned very quickly that in life as a child that it seemed that like anything that was actually good for me didn't taste that good. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And it was always the truth, you know, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, spinach, all that, which I seem to love now. But as a child, I was like, man, this is good for me. You've got to be kidding. It's killing me. I remember sitting there at the dinner table. I remember sitting there for hours, like until I finished everything in my bowl. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And then I remember once I didn't finish my dinner. My friend came over to play on Saturday and I was sitting at the breakfast table. What was I eating? I wasn't eating cereal. I was eating last night's dinner because I didn't finish it the night before. My friend came over. He said, "You have sausages and vegetables for breakfast?" I said, "No, I didn't eat my dinner last night." And so righteousness is right living. And so the world doesn't tell us how to live. Other Christians don't tell us how to live. Pop culture doesn't tell us how to live. Our flesh doesn't tell us how to live. In fact, our flesh is going to tell us the opposite. The Word of God tells us how we are to live our life. The Word of God must be the blueprint, the train tracks, the grid for our life. And that's why it's important that we are people of the Word. And so righteousness is living a life based on God's word, God's blueprint. And so how can I live a righteous life? Righteousness, another word for righteousness, would be holiness. That is a life that is separate from the world, different from the world. It's a condition of being acceptable unto God. Because of our sinful nature, though, without Jesus' death on the cross, we had no chance to be righteous. The Bible says, "For by one man's sin, sin entered into the world, and sin passed upon every man." And so every child that is born has a sinful nature. Now, my children do things that aren't very good, and I have to be honest, I never taught them how to do those bad things. For some reason, they just learn. I mean, they learn how to steal. I never said, "Well, kids, I want to teach you a lesson. This is how you steal." No, they learned. I mean, they learned to be disobedient. You know, they learned to be sneaky. You know, when I said, "You can't go and you can't have any of those Tim Tams in the cupboard," I can guarantee you that when I turned my head, they were eating the Tim Tams. Now, is it just my children or have we all got children like that? Because we all have this sinful nature. If left to ourselves, and that's what our job as parents is to correct our children to make sure we get them on the right path, because if we leave them to themselves, they're going to go down a destructive route. They're going to ruin their lives. And so without Jesus' death on the cross, we had no chance of living a righteous life. Romans chapter 3, Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." None of us are righteous on our own. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all," everyone say all, "have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 64 says, "But we are all," everyone say all, "are as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness," whatever righteous things we do in our own opinion and our own life and our good works, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind. Our sin is like wind. It just takes us away. We get swept up. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It will cost you more than you wanted to pay. It will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And that's what Isaiah says. He says, our iniquities like the wind take us away. And so there is no way in our sinful condition that we can be righteous without the death of Jesus Christ. And so to be righteous literally means to be declared not guilty of our sin before God. Jesus took our sin upon him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 goes on to say, "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, unrighteous, while we were unrighteous, Christ died for us." Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "For he hath made him," he's talking about Jesus, "he has made Jesus to be sin for us, even though he knew no sin. Jesus took our sin upon him that we might be made," what? "The righteousness of God in him." Who's it speaking of? How are we made righteous? We are made righteous in who? Jesus. And so when we are born again, When we are born again, when we are born of the water and of the Spirit, as Jesus said in John chapter 3, when we are born again, at that moment, we are made righteous. We are as righteous as the most righteous person. Why? Because we take on the righteousness of God. And so if you've been living for the Lord for 40 years, you might, in your carnal mind, and wrongfully, you might say, well, I'm more righteous than that new Christian. No, you're not. You are perfectly righteous because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You have taken on His righteousness. One pastor, he had a new guy come to church. He came to the Lord and he repented and he was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the pastor called him up. He said, oh, brother, I want you to come give a testimony to the church. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. This is the first service, you know, after he's been saved and been born again. And he gets up and as he's given his testimony, he says, it's the best beep thing that's ever happened to me. And everybody's like, oh. Well, he's just a new babe in Christ. God is working on him. He hadn't quite worked on his language yet. But he is as righteous as the most righteous person in the church because he takes on the righteousness of God. He's not perfect, but he is righteous because he's taken on the righteousness of God. God has given him, listen carefully, God had given him a new heart. He's got a new heart. And after we are saved from sin, we are commanded, as the Bible said, as Jesus said to the woman caught in the act of adultery. He said, your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. It's not that God tolerates sin. He tells us to go and sin no more. And so we've got a new heart. Everyone say a new heart. And so once we are saved, we are commanded. If you go to the next slide, it says we are commanded in Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. It says we are to live soberly. Everyone say soberly. We are to live righteously and godly. Where? What's it say? In this present world. Oh, I know that I'm going to be able to live righteously and soberly and godly when I get to heaven. But the scripture tells us that we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Okay? And then we are warned in Hebrews that without holiness or without righteousness, without holy living, no man shall see the Lord. And then we are told in Romans 12 verse 1 that we are to present ourselves as holy unto God. We are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. We are to separate ourselves from worldliness because now we are no longer a child of the world. We are a child of God. We are told to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world because we have a new heart. Everybody say a new heart. And so we put on that breastplate of righteousness to protect our new heart. Everybody say amen. Amen. To protect our new heart. The breastplate doesn't make you righteous. It protects your new heart. Now, for those of you who haven't lived in Canberra very long, and we do have a lot of people that have fairly new to Canberra, I want to give you a little bit of advice because we are not called the bush capital for nothing. They call us the bush capital. And as I drive Americans around, we drive down the Monero Highway and they will say, you know, it doesn't even feel like we're in a city. Feels like, and they say, we're out in the woods. Well, what on earth are the woods anyway? I say, we just call it the bush. We're out in the bush. And that's what Canberra's like. You can just walk out your backyard, walk down to the end of the street, and you could be in the bush. But when you live in the bush and when you live near these nature reserves, there's some animals that aren't so friendly that live there. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And so during the summer, we are told in the summertime, and maybe if you haven't already heard, but if you have a house, we're told to make sure we clean up our yard. Don't leave piles of wood laying around and bits of tin and rubbish like that. And we're told not to let our grass grow long. And don't leave junk around because you got to be careful if you've got a chicken coop because chicken coops bring mice and things like that. And if you've got mice and if you've got an unclean backyard with long grass, there's a little animal who likes to make his way into your backyard. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? What are they? Snakes. How many people have ever had a snake in their backyard? Lift your hand if you had it. Look at that. Yeah. I'm not telling fibs. They're just the ones that saw the snake in their backyard. All of us could probably lift our hand and say, well, if you knew, what you didn't know, that you have had a snake, but you never knew it. I know Sister Peter put her hand up there. They had a snake in their garage. The young boy was out there. He was told to clean up the garage. He had all day Saturday. He was taking a long time to clean up the garage, as teenage boys can, you know, fumbling around, taking their time. And then he comes in and tells you, Dad, I think I saw a snake in the garage. His dad's like, well, this is a good excuse not to clean the garage. His dad goes out, and sure enough, there was a brown snake. Now, the brown snake is the most common snake in Canberra. The eastern brown, it is extremely venomous. In fact, if you do your research, the eastern brown is considered the second most venomous terrestrial snake. That means it's the second most venomous snake that lives on land. And it's the most commonly encountered snake in Canberra. Brown snakes. Now, if you weren't praying before, now you're praying. But the reality is we don't have to personally invite a snake into our backyard, do we? They have a habit of coming. All I have to do to have a snake in my backyard is to create an environment that is conducive for them. An environment where the snake's going to feel comfortable. And I don't have to invite them. In fact, if I create the environment, they invite themselves. The environment we created was the invitation for the snake. And so unrighteousness is an environment when we live an unrighteous life as Christians. When we live a life that's not according to God's word, we are rolling out the welcome mat for the enemy of our souls. We are rolling out, we are taking, when we take off that breastplate, which is righteousness, when we take off the breastplate of righteousness, we are opening ourselves up for an attack on our heart. And our heart is so important because that we already established in Proverbs that out of the heart are the issues of life. And so the devil's going to come with a full frontal attack. If you take that breastplate off, he's going to come at a full frontal attack at your heart. And so we've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness because unrighteousness is all of the invitation that the devil needs to come in and attack us. That's all the invitation he needs to send his devils and his demons on an assignment. It not only leaves the door open, but you're welcoming an attack in your heart. The Bible says, the one who knows to do the right thing and does it not, to him it is sin. We've got to live a righteous life. And another translation says, the breastplate, which is righteousness. It is a breastplate. It's a life, a righteous life that protects us from the attacks on our heart of the devil. And so there are things that we don't do. Why? Because God's word says we shouldn't. There are places that we don't go. There are things we don't watch. I mean, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery, but how is that any different than sitting down on the lounge for a quiet Saturday night and just watching someone on the TV commit adultery in what we call a romance movie or something? I'm treading on toes now, but that's my job. Just like a doctor, he didn't want to necessarily make you feel comfortable. He wants you to make you better. There's music we don't listen to because it goes against the word of God. There are things we don't wear and the way we dress and things like that. We got to dress modestly because this is what the Bible says. Not to make us righteous, not to make us righteous, but to protect our new heart. Everyone say my new heart. To protect my new heart, when we start going out and doing unrighteous things and start allowing sinful things to come into our heart, we are exposing our heart. We are exposing ourselves against the attacks of the devil. And that's why we preach that we've got to live a holy lifestyle. We've got to live according to God's word. We can't live a life that the world wants us to live. We've got to keep coming back to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say? We've got to be careful not of just sin, but there is such things as activities that I would say that are the foyer of sin. Everyone say the foyer. And I'm always careful with the young people when I see them going into the foyer of sin. They may say, well, Pastor, it's not exactly sin yet. I say, well, you be careful because you're in the foyer. You're on your way somewhere, which is dangerous.
And so we've got to live a holy life. We've got to take that breastplate, which is righteousness. It protects our heart. And you see the cross, everybody say the cross. The cross didn't just take something from you, which was our sin. The cross gave something miraculous to us, that God commended his love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that we are not just, our sin is taken, yes, but we are also given a new heart. We take on the righteousness of God, and living a righteous life protects our heart. That's why people would say, well, I hope they say, when we become a Christian, they say, wow, why have you changed so much? You know, used to swear and used to, you know, do all those things and, you know, the nightclubs and the drinking and the language and used to be so unforgiving. But now I noticed at work the other day when that guy said that to you, that you didn't respond like you used to. You don't gossip like you used to. And that's because there's been a change in our life. We've been given a new heart. And now we're told to live righteously and soberly in this present world. We're told to take the breastplate of righteousness, which is a life that is lived according to God's standard. Because out of the heart comes all of the issues of life. If the devil wants to affect your life, he will come at your heart. And how do you protect your heart? You put on the breastplate of righteousness. And so we say to them, well, if you had known what my life was like before I had Jesus, you would understand why I've changed. You would understand. If you would understand how lost I was before I found Jesus, you would understand why I live the life that I live now. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, and this is our testimony today, many of us, or in fact all of us can say this, if it wasn't for the Lord, I don't know where I would be. Some of us have been so involved in wickedness and sin that our life was headed in a very bad direction. But somehow Jesus reached out and caught us just in time. He saved us. If it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be? And so they say, oh, why have you changed so much? And you could say to them, I found a love that's like no love in this world. I found a hope that's like no hope in this world. When I found Jesus, I found everything that I've been searching for. I found everything that I need. And I'm giving my life for him. That's why I'm like I am. Because I found hope in a hopeless world. And so don't believe the lie from the devil that says you can do whatever you want. You know, the devil does whatever he wants. The devil will come and say, as long as you believe in Jesus, you can do whatever you want. Let me tell you, the devil also believes. At least he trembles. There are a lot of Christians that believe, they do whatever they want and they don't even tremble. Paul said, shall we continue to sin? I thank God for his grace. I thank God that when we make mistakes, that his grace is there for us. When we fall short, you see, we can do our best to try to live for God, and we're going to take those steps. The destination is over there, but every time we try, we're going to fall short. But it's the grace of God that makes up the difference. I'm thankful for his grace, but grace is not an excuse for sin. You know, your child comes to you, steals $10 out of your wallet, and you find out, and you say, hey, Johnny, come here. You stole $10 out of my wallet. He says, I'm sorry, mommy. You're like, all right, son, that's cool. Don't do it again. Grace. He spent it. It's gone. It's not coming back. Then he does it again. Johnny, there was $10 in my wallet. What happened to it? Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. Yeah, I did it again. I'm sorry. I can't believe I did it. I'm so sorry. Well, all right. I'm a bit annoyed with you, but don't do it again. And they're starting to figure, well, maybe Mom's a bit of a soft touch. I'll just do it every week. I get a $10 pay rise because of the grace of my mom. Well, Paul said, shall we continue to sin because grace abounds? No. To willfully keep just sinning and expecting God to forgive us, eventually he says, okay, I'm just going to leave this for a while until you have a change of heart, because obviously you're willfully doing this. And Paul said, you can't live like that. And so the devil believes and he trembles. I pray that we will believe and that we will obey the word of God, that we would put on that belt of truth, that we would put on the breastplate of righteousness and righteous living according to God's word, because it protects our heart. Now, righteousness has become, I guess these days in Christian circles, has become like a bit of a dirty word. You know, people think, well, who is the preacher to tell me how to live? Who is the preacher to tell me what I should and shouldn't do? And you know, but whenever I look into the Bible, righteousness is not a bad thing. Righteousness is a good thing. Righteousness is powerful. Everybody say powerful. You see, the first thing I can point out to you, that righteousness brings boldness. You can be bold if you live a righteous life. I remember there was a young guy I was helping. He had spent a little bit of time in prison, but I'm sure he didn't get caught for everything that he did. Because every time that he was in the car with me and the police drove past, he started looking really scared. They'd be following us. Another time at the car park, we were at the petrol station. He didn't want to get out of the car because there were some things that he had done and he couldn't be exactly be bold because he was trying to hide some things. And if we live a righteous life, we can live a bold life. We've got nothing to hide. We've got nothing to be scared of. We can walk into the police station knowing that they're not going to get us because we live a righteous life. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, read it for yourself later on, but it says, the wicked flee when nobody pursues. That's right, you got the rest of it, but I'll get there in a second, all right? The wicked flee when nobody's chasing them. Has anyone ever seen somebody like that? Start running, getting scared, even though no one's chasing them. Why? Because they're hiding stuff. But if you live a righteous life, as David has already preached, the righteous are as bold as a lion. We don't have to be scared. The righteousness gives us boldness. It brings boldness. It says, when the righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Why did Adam run for God? Well, unrighteousness came into his life and he ran from God. The righteous are bold. Life is stressful enough, all right? Let alone living an unrighteous life and trying to hide all this stuff. I mean, life is stressful enough. You're going to add unrighteousness to that, you're going to go mad. But if you walk the righteous way, you can live bold. You can live large. You don't have to live with shame. You've got nothing to hide. You see, righteousness is powerful. Righteousness brings wisdom and direction. How many people need wisdom? How many people need direction? Well, righteousness, the Bible tells me, righteousness is not a dirty word. Righteousness brings wisdom and direction. It says, the lips of the righteous, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. God lays up wisdom for who? The righteous. He is a buckler. That buckler can also be a bodyguard. He is a bodyguard to them that walk uprightly. I'm glad that there is a blessing in living a righteous life. I can live with boldness and I can live with wisdom and direction. Righteousness is a filter for our ever powerful word. How many people can say that their words have got them in trouble sometime? Yeah? Anybody going to be honest enough? Listen, I am. There's a few people. They still haven't experienced their tongue getting them in trouble yet. But righteousness is a filter for our powerful words. The lips, that says in Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked speaks frowardness. Another scripture says, righteousness exalts a nation. And if we have a righteous life and we live righteous life, it exalts our nation. That doesn't just mean Australia. Your nation can be your family. Righteousness exalts a nation. The scripture says in Proverbs 37 that God will bless the righteous with a superior life. How do you have prosperity? How do you live a superior life? Live a righteous life. Psalm 37 verse 16 says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. The little that we have is better than the riches of wicked people. The righteous man, the little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. I'm thankful that he upholds us. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and the days of famine. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. The steps of a good man or a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and God delights in his way. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It protects our life. It brings blessing into our life. You see, the devil would come against us, and he wants us to try and get away from the truth of God's word. Why? Because if we take away the truth of God's word, we don't know how to live a righteous life. And if we don't know how to live a righteous life, then we can't put on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to make a choice. We need to make a choice. We need to say, God, I want to live for you. And I want to live a righteous life. God, whatever your word wants me to do, I want to obey. We've got to take the breastplate of righteousness. If the musicians could come. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, it says this. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to our God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? What's that word? Sanctification. God has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification. God has set us apart. There is a life that we live as Christians which is going to be different to the ways of this world. We are chosen. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people. God has chosen us. We're going to have different thinking. We're going to have different actions because the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. It sets us apart. And so if you haven't been filled with the Spirit, you can be filled with the Spirit today. But if you've been filled with the Spirit, maybe you're sitting here today and you've been filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you to go beyond just being filled, but allow the Spirit of God to lead you. And where will the Spirit of God lead you? It will lead you to living a sanctified life, a separate life. What? Not just to be different from the world, but sanctified unto God. Not just a list of not to do's, but a list of to do's because of Jesus' love for us. To be sanctified. And so it's hard enough. You can't live this Christian life without being filled with the Spirit. We've got to follow the leading of the Spirit. And I exhort you today to go beyond just being filled or, you know, speaking in tongues and having the Holy Spirit. No, I want you to go beyond that and say, Lord God, I want you to lead me. Lord, if there be any wicked way in my life, God, I want you to convict me. Wake me up at night, oh God. If I'm living in sin and I'm fighting against you, Lord, I want you to work on my life. I want to be led by your Spirit. You see, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Everyone say exhausting. It's exhausting trying to live a righteous life in our own strength. But the Holy Spirit is Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. It's going to lead us into righteousness. It's the Spirit of truth. And so we need to take the belt of truth and we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because God has given us a new heart. And we need to protect that new heart with a righteous life, living a righteous life. Let's all stand in this place today. Maybe today you're here. We're going to open this altar in just a moment. But maybe today, as the Word of God has come forth, you want to make a commitment at this altar today in prayer and say, God, Lord, I don't want to just choose the easy path, but I want to choose the righteous path. I want to live a righteous life, Lord Jesus. Maybe the things that are coming out of your mouth, not just hurting others, but maybe even surprising you, the things that are coming out of your mouth. When you're bumped, when you're offended, when someone hurts you, and what spews out of your mouth. Let me tell you, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart is speaking. Got to get our heart right with God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Your actions, maybe there's things that you're doing right now and you're saying, oh, my life is messed up. My direction is lost.
Why? Because we've created an environment for the enemy to come in. Some of us through our lifestyle and doing things that we know that God doesn't approve of in the Word of God. We know God doesn't like it and we do it anyway. We never had to invite Satan in, but we just created an environment where he could come and feel comfortable. We've rolled out the red carpet by not putting on the breastplate of righteousness. So all across this place, let's just lift our hands right now. Let God speak to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these writings of Paul, Lord, where he has told us, oh God, that while we are in a spiritual battle, that we don't have to be ill prepared, that we can be prepared. Oh God, that we can put on the armor of God. We thank you, Lord, that you saw us in this evil day, in these last days, in this day of confusion and wickedness, oh God, that you saw us ahead of time, oh God, and you gave us spiritual armor that we can put on. Lord, I pray, help us not to be so foolish to think that we don't need to do this, that somehow we can put on half of the armor of God, that somehow we can put on one piece or just two pieces. But Lord, that we would obey your word, Lord, and put on the whole armor of God. Lord, help us to put on that breastplate of righteousness. As we leave this place today, let the truth of your word alter our lifestyle. Help it to change us from the inside out. Lord, change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that you gave us a new heart, oh God. But Lord, help us not to allow the enemy to come in and attack our heart, that new heart, that we would put on that breastplate of righteousness. Change my heart, oh God.